Comics Coffee Metal Podcast, episode 88.
Greetings and welcome to the Comics Coffee Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Don Cardenas, and hope you've been having a fantastic week. Now, normally, after C2E2, the big convention in Chicago hosted by ReadPop, I would have like a recap of like how the weekend went and all that. But once again, due to pandemic concerns, I have chosen not to attend. And while I missed seeing a lot of people and all that, I knew I had to make the right decision for myself, my family, and all that. But I am very much looking forward to attending it in March of next year, 2023. It's going to be back in its normal time frame. You know, I should have some projects that are just got, you know, maybe a couple issues under their belt, you know, something new, and just a whole bunch of cool stuff to have. So I'm excited for it. It's not that far along. It's not that far away. You know, it's what, 6 months maybe? So it'll be here before we know it. And that's how it goes. But that's not to mean I haven't been busy getting stuff together. I've been putting together a lot of, starting a lot of video type project with the YouTube channel, which as of today is finally over 100 subscribers, which, you know, thank you to any of you and all of you who have subscribed. I've been talking to some PR folk who represent metal bands and all other kinds of creators like that. And we are, having discussions about having some more metal people on the show outside of, you know, comic book creators who are metal fans. And I'm very excited about that. But on the flip side of that, it also means I need to create some more content for my YouTube channel, and be it reaction videos or other types of review videos to, you know, stoke that fire and keep that going. So kind of like, you know, we get a react video for this band, and then I get a chance to talk to them on the podcast and that kind of thing. And that's how, you know, that's how things work, you know. I'm more than happy to do it. I like doing those little videos. They're fun. And they're really simple to do. So if it helps get cool guests on the podcast, why not, right? Yeah, exactly. Speaking of cool guests, let's jump right into our recommendations.
Hey there. I'm Liana Kangas, and I'm actually the co-host of Comics Inebriated, a podcast about current and past events for history and weird facts about comics, pop culture. And all the while, we actually sit down with our fun special guests and have a quick drink. And one of those guests is actually Don of this very podcast. So come over, come hang out, come listen to it, and enjoy your time for the rest of this podcast.
First up, I have our comic book recommendation this week, and it is The Deadliest Bouquet by previous cool guest Erica Schultz. Art by Carola Borelli, colors by Gab Contreras and Tom Chu. It is a mystery book where three sisters come together after the murder of their mother, who died under mysterious circumstances. She comes from a line of Nazi hunters, so there's a lot of speculation. What happened? What's going on? It's set in the 90s, and it's just very, 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 very cool. It's being released by Image now, but I had the pleasure of reading the entirety of the story from the Kickstarter edition that Erica provided for me after I spoke to her for the podcast, and it's a really amazing book. It is very... The mystery regarding their mother's death and all that, You have multiple suspicions. There's a few red herrings here and there. And while the book is at both, you know, very dramatic and heartbreaking, there are some moments of levity. It's a very well-paced, I think, book. There's lots of scenes intercut with the girls' childhoods, with their mother and how that's affected who they are now and what they do. And you get little vignettes and snapshots of their lives now as adults. And Erica does that thing where you get enough of a person's backstory to where you could read more stories about this person's life and things they're doing and all that, but you get just enough to kind of know what their character might be doing or how they might be reacting in the main story. So it creates a very rich and inviting world. Carola's art, and Carola, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, but their art is just fantastic. It's a very clean line style. It works very, very well with the story, especially with the colors by Gab Contreras and Tom Chu. They really get a chance to shine, and it all works together very well. The line art, especially as the series goes on, it was a graphic novel I read, but it's being released in issues, so technically series goes on. It just gets stronger and stronger as their comfort level with the characters grows, and it's great from the start, but it gets even better as it goes, and that's really, really awesome to see and kind of notice as an artist myself, because it's always nice to see when more things click in and you just know they're just firing on all cylinders, they're just rocking and rolling that book, and it's really, really cool to see. But yeah, Deadliest Bouquet is out from Image. Really, really great book. First issue is out on stands now. I'm sure you can still get a copy of that or order it from Diamond in your local comic shop. And second issue should be out shortly. Highly recommend it. Link in the show notes. All right, next up is my music recommendation this week. I had the great honor of getting a kind of an early listen to the latest Arch Enemy album, Deceivers. Now, Arch Enemy is a band that I've been aware of for the past, 20 plus years. They've been kicking ass for a very, very, very long time. And I am, sorry to say that I've never been really into them. I've never really sat down and gave them that shot, that try. But earlier this year, I did a little reaction video for their new single, Handshake with Hell, and I was just blown away by it. And the twin guitar attack of Michael Lamott and Jeff Loomis is just, chef's kiss, just beautiful, beautiful metal guitar work. And that's, not to mention at all the stunningly amazing vocals of Alyssa Weigl-Gluz. I'm sorry if I pronounced that last name wrong, but her vocals are just she's just too good. She does everything super, super well. The low growls and the aggression and the melodic singing, and this band is full of people who are just like, they know their instruments inside and out, and they do everything with such precision and perfection that it's just hard not to be drawn in with the infectiousness of it. There's a ton of awesome, awesome songs on here, like the aforementioned Handshake with Hell, Deceiver, the epic Spreading Black Wings, which clocks in at just under 5 minutes, but it feels like this huge, mega long, in the best way, kind of song that just kind of sucks you in. It's full of just killer riffs, super awesome double guitar attack solos, and just, again, the icing on the cake of all that, metal instrumental goodness is Alyssa's vocals just killing it. And despite these people having such a high caliber of talent with their guitars and their instruments and their drums and the bass, I don't want to, leave anybody out. So the drummer, Daniel Erlinson, and bassist Charlie D'Angelo, it's just, they don't overplay. And that's incredibly important, I think, when you have such a high level of skill. Granted, there's plenty of stuff in here that's like, you got to know your shit to play. But there's plenty of other stuff where they just lock into a groove, especially with the song I'm going to preview now, In the Eye of the Storm. They just start with just such a thunderous just metal groove, and it's just, just perfection. It's people doing what they do and having the confidence. Like I mentioned last episode with Spirit Box, they know how to play their instruments, so when they play something that might be a little bit simpler or whatever, it's just done to such, precision, and so it's so targeted and pointed that it's just nails it, and it's just, you can't not just appreciate it, dig in, and just absolutely love it. So highly recommend this album, Arch Enemy, Deceivers. I have a lot of work ahead of me because I have to go back now and listen to all these other albums, because I'm an Arch Enemy fan now, and I'm super excited to have all these other albums to go back to and check out. So you go check this one out, and here is In the Eye of the Storm.
The drops are set. Let them drag me back there again. The ball on the chain, it bears my name. Don't take the pieces.
Oh, hello, fellow humans. You caught me in the middle of drinking coffee while reading comics and listening to metal. Do you ever get curious about how your favorite creators get their inspiration? Have you ever wondered what led them down this path? Well, join me, noted comic book heartthrob Grant Stoy, as I do deep dive interviews with some of the best comic book folks around on Into the Comics Cave. Each week we examine a creator's history and find out stuff like where they grew up or whether or not birds with lips are sexy. You can find us on Apple, Stitchers, and most anywhere you stream your podcast. Now back to my favorite hugger in the world, Don Cardenas.
All right, it is now time for my guest. About, I want to say 4 years ago, I had a chance to attend a New Creators Breakfast hosted by the amazing Robert Wilson III. And at that breakfast, I met many amazing new creators, and I am so glad to have another one of them on the show today. And from their work on the amazing It Took Luke to the upcoming Leaf Peepers, which I'm really excited to see that come out, I have so many things to ask of them. But first, Mark Bouchard, Comics Coffee Metal, what are you digging right now?
Hi, Don. So for coffee, I really like the Kirkland brand from Costco, because I brew a pot of coffee like every day and drink a lot of coffee. So that, or I like when I'm not drinking coffee, just because it kind of, I drink it black and it kind of messes with my stomach. So I really like the plain unsweetened yerba mate. I usually start in the morning with just like a tea bag of yerba mate before I drink any coffee, just because it's like, you know, they're like 40 milligrams a bag, just like before I walk the dog or do anything. It's like cold in the fridge from the night before.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and comics, I was thinking about like the, I pulled like three of the best books I've read recently. And they would be Grave and I by Sloan Leong and Anna Bowles, out from TKO. It's like a really interesting, like the narrator of the book is the house, and it really unpackages this sadistic relationship that goes on in this house. And then I was kind of really impressed. I was really, really impressed with Alan Moore and Jason Burroughs' Providence. It's a really, it's surprisingly gay, like very much so. I was very shocked. There was a lot of, men having sex with other men in it, and a lot of like really amazing cosmic horror stuff, as well. So that was cool. And then Michael DeForge's Heaven No Hell, my friend Caroline Cash gifted me a copy, I guess they would be, it's out from Drawn-In Quarterly, but it would be like, they're kind of like, some of the comics have like a narrative, but the some of them are just like sequential, like it's kind of like experimental, but there were two stories in the anthology or the collection that like really blew me away. One of them was like a podcast about this TV show that was based on The Purge, but it was all started because this kid witnessed like his parents' dead marriage. And he was like, I'm going to create the purge. So people won't have to walk on eggshells and like be awkward around each other anymore, and ran for president and instated the purge. But it was like, it was very emotional, in a weird way. His work is pretty crazy. I'm going to check out. I think he just had a book come out this week. That one was from last year. And for metal, my favorite metal band is Power Trip. I don't listen to a ton of metal besides like Power Trip and Gojira, but Spotify loves to tell me that a lot of the bands I listen to are metal. Like, I get a metal mix every day. but it's usually just a bunch of hardcore bands like Gulch and Soulglow, Gel, Drain, Spy, and Turnstile, and then Every Time I Die. But there's this one that I would recommend. Like, if you're into hardcore, like, I like all those bands. But there's this one thing that, as, like, I know you're a music guy. Just, like, an interesting... They're, like, it's, like, kind of metal. But then a minute in, it transitions into, like, easy core, like, elevator music. And then it goes back into the, like, heavy screaming. The song is called Flip Flops at a Funeral by the Callous Dow Boys.
The Callous.
And I only know that song by them. But yeah, they're pretty crazy. Or for that song, at least.
You know, the genreification of like just lumping things into metal just because it's got, probably got like loud guitars at one point is aggressive sounding.
Yeah.
I can understand it could probably be annoying to some folks, but you know, I think at this point there's so many variations of metal that it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
To really do it. But I am incredibly glad to hear you say you love Gojira because they are probably top three band for me. All time.
Yeah, L'Enfant Sauvage is so good.
I'm a relatively recent convert to them. I didn't get into I remember Brian Lovell like telling me about them like many years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, oh dude, you should check them out. And I'm like, okay. And at the time my ear wasn't really favoring that style of like super aggressive vocal. And then around 2016, Magma came out, and I heard Silvera for the first time, and I'm like, oh, ho, what? Mm-hmm. And that entire album represented such a shift to me in terms of how I think about music, how I approach what I want to do with music. It inspired me immensely to... you know, write the way I write now. It inspired me to try to like, you know, do my own screaming vocals and things like that. It pushed me so far, and just because it connected with me on such a deep level that, yeah. And then I went back, and then obviously, you know, Sauvage is amazing record, you know, they're all great. Mm-hmm. You know, I love stuff out of all of them. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, I wasn't expecting, you know, mid-30s at that point to find a band that I would love so much that, you know, that it rivals how much I love Metallica, because that was my band when I was younger, you know. So it was such a weird thing. So whenever I hear someone say they like Gojira, I'm like, I have to geek out a bit about it, just because it's a huge thing for me. Like, even my guitars, like I essentially play what Joe Duplantier plays, like. Yeah, I have a Telecaster. It's got his signature pickup in there. Mm-hmm. I play through their the amp simulator that they made. I have the drum sample pack that Mario Duplantier did. Mm-hmm. So I'm in it. I'm in with Gojira. And then Power Trip was a band that I didn't really know a lot about until after, unfortunately, Riley Gale passed. And then I decided to take a trip, no pun intended, down their discography, and I'm like, wow, what a loss.
Yeah,
like
truly,
that band is just amazing. And You know, unfortunately, it happened the way it happened. But yeah, I'm glad that they at least had, you know, a couple albums out.
Yeah.
Of all that, but
yeah.
No, to put what you said with the Calistal Boys, I like all kinds of stuff. There's a band called Rollo Tomasi that I don't know if you've heard of them.
Mm-mm.
But they are really good with that kind of like super ultra aggressive moment, and then just really soft of I wouldn't necessarily say elevator, but like it's very melodic and like you wouldn't expect the heavy parts to come in. And, you know, another band I keep, you know, talking about in the show is called Spirit Box.
They are
great. Loathe is another great band that they were definitely heavier, I think, in their earlier stuff, but their most recent couple releases, they have like songs that are like, they do the same thing where it's like the super low tuned heavy thing, and then they have like the nice melodic thing. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely my cup of tea as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I've been listening to like a lot of stuff. Most of the music I listen to is heavier, but I did a deep dive into this, I've been doing a deep dive into this rap group called Injury Reserve. And they put out like four albums, but their last one is like really experimental and isn't really rap music. There's like not really vocals. I don't like it as much. But the first three are like all awesome. And also this power pop band called Teenage Halloween. And I feel like they're all like we went to see them at this bar, and there was like 40 people, 50 people there. They're like they're a pretty new band, and I think I heard their drummer talking about graduating college in like 2021, but they're real good, like real good for like that genre of music. And they're like, their singer's pretty into comics. So I dropped them off some of my comics, and they like tweeted about how they like really fucked with them today. And I was like, damn, hell yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Just so you know, I'm opening tabs on all these bands you're mentioning, so I can go back in later and check them
out. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one more band. They're a fifth wave emo band called Home Is Where. And so like their new stuff, they put out a couple of new tracks, one with the singer from Soul Glow, that like are kind of like the first wave emo, like screamy stuff, like, you know. But they have a 6-song release called I Became Birds that features like a singing saw, a harmonica, acoustic guitar, and like punk yelling, as well as like straight up like death metal screaming. And it's like, it's cool. 18 minutes. If you can give it 18 minutes, I really recommend checking it out. It's just like it came out in 2021, but it's just one of the craziest releases I've ever. I would love them to keep making music like that, but I feel like they're going to go into the like first wave emo direction, which I'll still listen to, like it rules. But this 6-song release was just like hella special.
Nice. Nice. No, 18 minutes. That's not a long time at all. Yeah. That's like 2 Dream Theater songs. That's easy.
Yeah.
that's definitely something I can go and check out. Oh boy. So that's some great, you know, this is one of the benefits of doing the show is like I get to hear about so much new music, because as I can search it out all I can, but even then, scouring Bandcamp, scouring the new releases on Apple or whatever, you still don't see everything. And then, you know, I talk to a guest and they're like, oh, have you heard of this band? They get like 8 releases and they're really, really good. And I listen to them like, oh shit, like what like where were these people? Like, I did not find these guys already. So yeah, that's one of the delightful benefits of, you know, that. And you know, as we chatted a little bit in the mini episode before we started recording this, you talked about a comic that I had no idea existed, but looks amazing. And I'm like, you know, probably as soon as we're done here, I'm going to hit download and probably make sure I have it on my Kindle.
Nice.
Soon, because it just, yeah, it's definitely those type of one of those, you know, things where it's just like, I love how everything feeds each other with recommending things. Yeah. And that's why I like doing the show, because, you know, I like talking about things we're enjoying, and, you know, I like talking about the things I love, obviously, if anyone's listened to this show, you know, at all, they know if there's something I enjoy talking about and want to share with people, I'm going to yammer on about it. So, but enough about me. That was some great stuff there. I do want to step a little bit back to the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned you drink it black.
Yeah.
And it's the Kirkland Reserve, you said?
I don't know. I forget. I've been drinking like a Two Brothers like coffee right now, just because I have to go to Costco, you know? Yeah. We're in between Costco runs right now.
Okay. Well, I love Two Brothers Roasters. They're one of my favorite roasters. Like, they have the Sweet Home Chicago blend they have is really good. They had a, what do I want to call it? Was it the 100 Mile or something? I don't know. I've checked them out on the show before and all that. That's really good stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, but do you just do like a drip pot of coffee or do French press? Or
I used to just make cold brew, but now I grind the beans and then I just do drip coffee.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Have you tried any rootless coffee yet?
I have not.
Okay, yeah, they're really good as well, but you know, I've pounded the rootless drum plenty of times online and on the show. So, but if you ever get a chance to check them out, I highly recommend their stuff.
Yeah, John was great. Yeah, I saw No Trigger like a few weeks ago, or like 6 or 7 weeks ago, with Jono playing drums.
Awesome. Yeah, they were in Chicago.
Yeah, at Reggie's.
Yeah, I really wanted to go and check them out, but you know, kids, kids, and you know, I am roughly like 40 miles away from Chicago proper, so it's. But I definitely want to see his bands play just because it's going to be a great time, I'm sure. Are you in like Chicago proper, or are you?
I'm in.
If you don't want to talk about it, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm in Logan.
Okay.
I'm in Logan Square.
Oh, so you're in it. Okay.
Yeah, I live right by the train.
Okay.
So if you hear any background noise, the train like runs by my window.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no worries here. So. You not only, you know, write amazing comics and edit awesome comics, but you're also going to law school.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome. Is that something that's always been a goal for you, or?
It's been like always kind of an idea. Like when I was younger, I really wanted to be an environmental lawyer. And yeah, then I don't know, I'm not really looking for it to get into anything particular. Like I kind of just want, like I was a copywriter for a while. And then like with every time I would like get a new job, like fewer and fewer of the job postings offer insurance. And I just feel like, like going to law school will, you know, always, allow me access to insurance, or presumably. So that's kind of the idea there, but I also am excited to like, once I finish like taking contracts and like, I don't know if I have to be like barred before I do this, but the plan is to like look over contracts for like marginalized first time graphic novelists who like need a contract and don't looked over and like don't have an agent.
That's awesome.
I think I could take on like a few of those like every year. But I don't know how much time goes into this thing, but that's like at least the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's an awesome path to take. Would be a huge service to a lot of people, I'm sure. And unfortunately our country is so fucked that, you know, insurance has to be this huge question in our heads whenever we're like, "Oh, what's my next employment going to be?" You know?
Yeah.
It's nuts, but you know, it's yeah, I just, you had mentioned that to me and I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." Like Mark's going to be Daredevil. I don't know why I instantly assumed you'd be, you know, trolling the streets and beating up, thugs, but anyway, But no, I was just kind of interested to see what kind of the path was, because did you always want to be like a comic book artist? I mean, a writer, editor, like, was that always just something you've aspired to, or was it kind of something that you found your way to as you were more of an adult?
Yeah. I was always in bands, and I like wanted to do music. And, when I was like I had a band in high school and like early college that we actually like toured around, like house shows and stuff, and like a couple mm-hmm. bars and like venues, but, we were a folk punk band, and, our big thing was we opened like 4 shows for this band, Ramshackle Glory, who are like, they put out what I think is like the best folk punk album, like hands down, no question, called Live the Dream, in 2011. And so that was my thing. And I like played trombone and like breathed fire, when we did outdoor stuff. And,
Oh yeah. I remember you posting pictures. Yeah.
But when I went to school, I was like, fuck, like, I was in like a brass band, like a New Orleans brass band, but I wanted to like get another hobby. And I remember like walking back from the lake, and there was just this comic book store, and I had read like some Venom comics when I was a kid and some Spider-Man mm-hmm. comics. So I went in there and just like started getting more Spider-Man and Venom comics. And then like there was this punk dude who worked there, and, I started like wanting, like he started showing me like some indie comics, like The Dregs from Black Mask. I was getting into those, and then I was like already, I used to draw my own comics too, but like the art wasn't progressing as much as the writing. And I was like more interested in that. Like I was mostly drawing them because like I couldn't like pay someone else to draw them. Mm-hmm. So I was just doing like short stuff. And I remember like my first comic that got published was like, I met some dude at C2E2. We were both like, yeah, he was in like a spider punk cosplay, and he got, he was like, yeah, I run this zine. And I put a comic in that zine, and I had to like use a fake ID to get into the, like the bar show where the zine was being released, like as some band was playing. It was super weird, but, that's how it happened. And like, I don't know. I've wanted to do this, or have been making comics since like late 2015.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, you've certainly already made an impression on me with your work.
Thank you.
It Took Luke was, you know, I had read it. I was a Kickstarter backer. I had read it. Time is weird. I don't know when I first read it at some point. But I was looking at it again today, and I was immediately crushed all over again. what was the path to It Took Luke? Because it started as a Kickstarter, and now it's going to be released, you know, a bigger release through Oni. And what was kind of the germ of the idea that got you going with that story, and how we got to here?
So there was like, I had done like an 8-page short comic with the artist on It Took Luke, Bailey. And then I was like, do you want to do something longer? And, I approached her with this idea. And, then I approached her with this like 2-sentence seed for a story that I like was supposed to do with some band in like 2017, and then it just like didn't happen. Of course she's like, yeah, I like that one, like the one that I didn't really have. So mm-hmm. I was listening to this song Kids by Pup, and I just would imagine the song being about like a bounty hunter who really cared about his kids, but he was like a divorced dad and like lived in a car. That character like eventually became like this person who like doesn't really care about that much, except maybe their like estranged partner, and like really hates their job, which involves killing stuff with a giant sword. I had a job at the time that I really didn't vibe with. It was like an hour commute each way and like 50 hours a week in the office in like the middle of the suburbs. And it just like sucks the life out of me for like 2 years.
I can 1000% sympathize with that. I definitely had the hour and a half each way commute job for just over 10 years. I was doing that, and it definitely leads you to think like Sal.
Yeah.
the protagonist of It Took Luke. And first off, Bailey art is just gorgeous.
She's insane. And like, her work is just amazing. I'm so excited to read like all the books she's working on.
It does that because I'm not a huge manga guy, but this does the she's able to take that influence and make it much more, you know, I guess I don't want to say palatable because that seems derogatory. More akin to something I'm used to reading.
Yeah, you know, it's just like it's Western. Very much the marriage of like the anime influence and like the Western style.
Yeah, it's done. It captures all like the stuff people say manga does better than, you know, at least art style wise does better than Western comics, and it takes that and incorporates that into like a Western comic. And yeah, it's killer. The body horror stuff is amazing. I absolutely adore the use of just the red color, and even the tone of the red. It's a bit understated, and I really really love that, because it could easily have been too bright, you know. And I don't know if there was a lot of back and forth, like how vibrant should this red be in the story, or if it was just like, here's what it is, great.
Yeah, like I thought it was just gonna be like a flat red, like how a couple of the panel backgrounds are. But
yeah,
like the instructions were given were basically just like red, and Bailey's just very, very, very good at what she does.
Yeah, yeah, because there are subtle gradations going on. It's just it's really amazing, inspiring stuff, and the story with Sal and just the, you know, kind of feeling like you've been doing this thing. What else are you gonna do? But you're done.
Yeah.
It's really great. And of course, you know, the ending. I won't spoil it for anybody, but it is a beautiful book, and full of action, just heart and great characterization. And I kind of like the what you're kind of talking about, the path where it kind of started off as this one thing and then morphed into this. And that's something, as I've tried to write more stuff for myself or to potentially have another artist do, I'm trying to let go of that idea of like, my initial idea doesn't have to be what it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
I could take the things that I was trying to say with that initial idea and have them morph and grow and be something completely different, but still have that feeling, still have those intentions of all that. Is that something that was kind of natural for you with the story, or were you kind of like, I don't want to take away this element because I'm really attached to it? Or
I feel like I don't know, like when I work, it changes, like, and I'm fine with that. I wasn't doing it that much for, I don't think I did it, like I had a few paragraphs per act, because this was done in like a three act structure. Usually I put together like an 8-page synopsis, and that'll summarize like everything that happens in the book, like broken up into chapters or whatever. And then I work with Jasmine Walls, she writes graphic novels, draws some of her own stuff, and she's an editor. And I'm very receptive to notes and like changing stuff, and like I think she has a really good eye for everything. Like if Jasmine's not like in charge of a very large imprint or something very soon, like, what's the point? Jasmine's she's just very, very, very good also at what she does. And I'd like to see her get more accolades for it. But yeah, I'm very receptive to notes and stuff. So like, and work a lot with my collaborators on like coming up with the story. Like, I'm working on a project right now with Rye Hickman, and the way we came, or the way that I came up with the story was, like, I presented 3 10-song playlists and had them pick 2, and then I came up with, like, 2 paragraphs of story per playlist, and then had them pick 1, and then was like, what do you want to draw that, like, fits in this?
That's amazing.
And then then I came up with, when I had all that, it made it a little easier, you know, to, like, figure out the story. And there was a lot of back and forth. I don't know. It's fun. It's fun to do stuff like that.
That's an awesome way to be approached. Speaking as an artist, like, mm-hmm. if a writer approached me with that setup, I'd be like, we're going to be best friends forever. Like, pick what you're vibing with musically, and then I'm going to write something to that. And it's just like, yes, please. You know, I don't have to tell you how, you know, much music and comics and all that's intertwined with itself. And it's just like, perfect.
Yeah, there's only one project I don't have, like, a long, like, 30-song dedicated playlist for. And it's just like, I need to nail, I know the vibe. But I usually make the playlist first, and for that one, for whatever reason, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have to get on it before I have to start writing it. We're not pitching it for a little while, so.
Okay.
Probably like November.
All right. Well, I'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
For sure. So It Took Luke is being released, larger release,
yeah.
I guess, through Oni. Is there a order code or anything we can share with everybody yet? Or this episode?
Yeah, there's an order code through Diamond, and it's also available. Like, I've been directing people to, like, bookshop.org, because you can order it from the bookstores in your area. I know they'll have it at a bunch of shops in Chicago. But the order code for Diamond is AUG221671.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if don't worry, listeners, if you don't have a pencil and paper ready, it'll be linked in the show notes. So you can just go to your pod player, click the link, and it'll take you to where you need to go to pre-order the book. So you don't only have It Took Luke, you know, being put out. You are putting, from what I understand, the final touches on your last Kickstarter, Leaf People.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to read. It looked like a really, really fun book. You want to tell everybody what is Leaf Peepers?
Yeah, Leaf Peepers is like my effort at using the muscles that I used when I was writing for the hard times and the hard drive. So it's like kind of like a horror comedy, but like also a little bit of like a satire on like queer stoner culture. It has a lot of love for stuff like The Ritual and Evil Dead and stuff like that in it. But it was another opportunity to work with my friend Shelby Criswell. We worked out together on a graphic novel once, and we kind of have it like the pitch ready. We've changed it a bit, but it was initially not really picked up. I just had... we didn't have the best agent at first. We're kind of like, I'm looking for an agent now, and hopefully I'll find one and then we'll try it again.
Okay.
But this is we were like, we want to get something out. We've been working on stuff together for like three or four years. So we wanted to do something together that would like come out. And Shelby did the logo for we have a little micro press that's only puts out like our own stuff called Coffee Breath Press. And so Shelby is one half of that and I'm the other half. So it's really cool that we're going to like actually have a book with both of us on it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I'm most excited about reading Leaf Peepers for is Shelby's art.
Yeah. Shelby's art style is so fun.
Yeah.
They rule.
Their art style is not one that's usually associated with like horror or anything like that, or kind of like that kind of like I said, the Evil Dead influence and all that. And I always think it's really cool to see, you know, like non, I guess, realistic bent or, you know, more traditional looking horror art styles tackle that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see, because the preview pages, you know, I'm already well in on, and I'm just really excited to see what else they've brought to life with their style, and it looks really, really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we should be finishing up in like 2 or 3 weeks, and then like the back matter's all done, so then we just have to get it printed. And I work with they're not exactly local, but they're close. Like when I printed Everything Is Going Wrong, like I picked all the books up because it was cheaper than shipping them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to pick your brain about printers,
mm-hmm.
especially since I'm closer to Wisconsin than I'm literally like what, maybe 15-20 minutes away from the border. No. So I'll definitely have to pick your brain about that mm-hmm. printer, because my local printer shut down because ink was too expensive.
Damn.
Now, so bummers. So, well, we have It Took Luke, Leaf Peepers, nonstop busyness. You mentioned some other stuff you're working on. Is there anything else you've been working on that you can talk about now, or is it?
Yeah. I'm working on a book with Val Halverson and Gab Contreras and Becca Carey called The Gutter King. It's a YA horror book that follows. It's about this creature that lives on Chicago's public transit and targets people with weaker social and emotional connections. So it sort of is hunting this kid whose father has recently passed away while his best friends try to save him from it.
That sounds awesome. I, you know, being born and raised in Chicago, I always love Chicago set
mm-hmm.
comics. And, you know, just having it being on the L is definitely like, you know, I already have one foot in. Like, okay, I'm in on this. Val's art is awesome. He's a fantastic artist.
Yeah, we've posted some. We've started looking for agents for it, and are having like, we posted on like one of those Twitter pitch days. So we're talking to a couple of people, and hopefully that works out. But I've posted a couple of the pages on my Twitter.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. I have to go back and scour to see if I missed them or not. that sounds really awesome. So, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we met at the new creator lunch that Robert Wilson, the third, put up. And, you know, when I was thinking about our interview today, I kept thinking about, you know, everyone else I met there, you know, Trace and all that. And I kept thinking about like just how awesome it's been seeing all the work everyone I've met in that breakfast has been putting in, and the strides they've been making in their respective careers and the directions it's taken and all that. And it's just been one of those things where it's like, you know, again, we just met for breakfast and kind of talked a little bit and all that, but it's just been so cool to see this, like how that branches out and all that. And I think it's really awesome seeing your stuff, you know, from the, you know, editing and taking on the writing and everything just progressing and going these other directions. And is there a moment in the past couple of years where you kind of felt like, oh wow, I'm doing it? Or is it just like, I'm working on this project, then this project, then this project? Have you ever like stepped back and said like, oh wait, I'm doing things, I'm making things?
I feel like the best feeling is when you get to hold the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. But otherwise it's just like, and like that happened with It Took Luke in like 2021, like getting to hold the book, that was so cool. And then we got a, like Oni went to the American Library Association conference, and they printed like some soft covers of It Took Luke with like a pull quote from James Tynion on the back that we put on the back of the book for the Kickstarter one. And like the order code and like how librarians can stock it and stuff. And so I got a couple of those, and like that was really cool. And I'm really excited to like hold the hardcover. But it's kind of just been like, what, like I was working at this place and then I got laid off. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to take some time to develop a comic. And then like while I was doing that, like after unemployment, then we like sold the book and then law school is starting. So I haven't really taken too much of a step back. I guess I should have like sort of take stock, but it's kind of just been nonstop working on stuff.
Oh, completely understandable. Like, it's been clearly mentioned on the show, you have a ton of things you're working on top of, you know, your school journey and all that. And I can totally say that when you say like holding the book, like that's when it's like, oh man, it kind of like, I recently finished a project that was very difficult. I had a hard time connecting with the writer on what exactly they wanted from me. And it was very frustrating, you know, beating my head against the wall and all that. But in the end, when I got copies of the book, it still was like, oh, I made a comic. Like, you know, it's just like,
yeah, that's what it's all about, is like holding the book. I like, oh my gosh, the smell of a fresh printed book. Don't even get me started. It's so good.
I still keep like the boxes that my books come in whenever I, you know, print my own stuff or whatever, because it still smells like that whenever I open them up for a show. It's like, ah, like, oh, this smells like, you know, I'd made a thing. Yeah. It makes you feel, it's a little bit better. It's a little bit better at that. So yeah, that's just one of those really, really, really awesome things that, I guess when you are making comics, sometimes it's hard, because I think for the past couple of years, I've been doing a lot of shorts and I haven't really held a physical comic in my hand that I've made in a while. It's all been digital stuff. So getting that physical copy was just like, oh man. So yeah, I totally get what you're saying there. But yeah, I think it's important for, you know, and I hope you get a chance to kind of step back and just like look at all the stuff you've accomplished so far, and not, you know, not necessarily like, okay, I can rest on my laurels, because no one can, but you know, appreciate that you've done that. Because, you know, again, to go back to It Took Luke, that, you know, reading that, that's the work of, I've read a lot of graphic novels that I don't talk about on the show because I just don't want to recommend them. I don't feel like I like them enough to recommend them. But your book, it read like a writer well past the experience you have. Like, you seem to have such already a strong control on voices and characterization and all that, that it's just like, oh wow, like Mark's just gonna get better from here. It's gonna be disgusting.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's high praise. Thank you.
And yeah, obviously paired, you know, no small part of that book's enjoyment is Bailey's art.
Oh, for
but
sure.
Yeah, it is definitely one of those things, and I really hope everyone goes, orders that book, you know, makes it do huge numbers. I know there's some Oni stuff questions happening with things, but there are still creators making these books. There are still creators who need people to pre-order these books and buy these books, because they're very talented, and I want to see more of their work. So definitely please go to the show notes, check out It Took Luke, pre-order it. You know, if you've backed Leaf Peepers, you know, it sounds like that's coming, and hopefully Leaf Peepers will find another home somewhere else, or another printing somewhere people can have it available. And yeah, so I guess I have nothing else to say except, how's Juicebox doing?
Juicebox is doing great. He is asleep on the couch while my partner is watching I Think You Should Leave.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he's he puts himself to bed around like 9:45, I feel like. Or like if there's no one on the couch with him, he like whines to be put in my bed, and then he just goes to sleep. Yeah, he gets up at like, and he'd sleep till like 11 or 12 he'd sleep till like 11 or noon if I let him. But I tend to wake him up and walk him at like 8,
Okay.
Yeah.
For those who may not know, and you should know, but Juicebox is Mark's very, very adorable dog.
He's a good little guy.
Awesome. Well, I don't know if I'll have to cut this out if you don't want this in here, but it is also your birthday weekend, you told me.
Yeah.
So it's also C2E2 weekend and neither of us will be there. And this will be posted well past C2E2 anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I hope you have a really awesome birthday weekend. I hope you do it up and come out of it as unscathed as possible.
Thank you.
Celebrations.
It's gonna be chill. One of my best friends from school is coming up, and we haven't seen each other since 2019. So nice. Like we're just gonna do we're gonna watch The Thing and have like a nice breakfast in on Sunday morning, and then just do something in the park with some friends later on in the day.
That sounds like a really, really nice birthday.
It's gonna be nice and chill, and we're gonna go to the lake on Saturday. And just awesome. Hang out, so it'll be nice.
Awesome. Yeah, mine's literally like a month away, and when you're a parent, it's like, okay, I know what I want to do for my birthday, but I have to figure out something the kids will be happy with.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is me. Anyway, mm-hmm. I have two small beings who adore me. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. Life is so. Anyway, well, Mark, I hope you have a really, really awesome birthday. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Now is the time to let everybody know where they can find you online.
Yeah, I'm at Bark Mouchard. It's just my last name, my first name and last name with the letters, first letter and switched. I'm there on Twitter. And I have a website that's just barkmouchard.com where I have some short comics and information about my longer projects. That's about where I can be found at present.
Awesome. Well,
awesome.
You heard them. Go check out the links. I'll make sure there's links to all those places in the show notes so you can go check it out. Follow Mark, buy stuff, read their books, support this awesome creator.
Thanks so much for having me on, Don.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening to the Comics Coffee Metal Podcast. Please be sure to return next episode with my returning guest, Michelle Avenator, and new guest, Justin Richards. See you then.